It was definitely an eye opener when I read this. I was like, oh, I'm the donkey.
Cool.
Yay.
Welcome to the Redemption Recap, reminding you of what is happening here at Redemption. Here is today's episode.
Hello, friends. My name is Jordan. I'm the host of the Redemption Recap, a podcast reminding you what is happening here at Redemption Church. The past like week, 2 weeks, we've had a lot going on around the church. We've had the Clear Truth Conference coming up. We have Good Friday. We have Easter next Sunday, which is crazy to think about. I mean, it's already here, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're just now listening in for the first time, I typically do this spiel towards the end, but I want to do this now. If you are new, I would really like for you to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss a thing. If you're listening to this via Spotify or the Apple Podcast, give us a 5-star review. It really does let us know how we're doing, and it lets you know anytime that we release new content. So Sunday, we were going through, I think it was Mark 11, 1 through 10, and we're talking about Jesus's grand entry. And I would like to read, it's Mark 11, 1 through 10, and then I'd like to get into some of the points that Stephen made in regards to this. Now, before we get into that, I do want to say this. Yeah. I've been called a lot of things in my life. I've been called smart. I've been called dumb, but I've never been called a donkey before. So I'm just going to say this now. It was definitely an eye-opener when I read this. I was like, oh, I'm the donkey.
Cool.
Yay. So let's just dig into this. I know that you have a different translation than I do. Yeah. Would you mind reading?
No.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
I'm going to read 11, 1 through 10.
Yep.
Okay. It says, as they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it back here. They went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coat on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.
So I love this ending, the way that they say, like, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, like, growing up in the church that I did, they would have this, like, I don't know what the proper terminology was called, but they would have, like, this saying that they would say, mm-hmm. almost like every Easter, where they would say, they would sing Hosanna in the highest, and then they'd say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It was always like this prelude to like Easter, and it was always like really like something that always stuck in my mind when it came time to Easter. Mm-hmm. And when I think of this story, I don't always think about like the triumphant king coming in on a donkey. Like, I was actually reading through some of the footnotes in my Bible, but before we got to talking in regards to the sermon, and it said a lot of people were expecting the king to come in on like this big horse, a chariot, but no, instead Jesus comes in on a donkey, and not just a donkey, a colt. Mm-hmm. A colt, I did a little bit of digging into that. You know, a colt is a donkey that's less than 4 years old. So like, this is a young donkey.
Yeah.
So, and I got to thinking about, like, okay, the donkey, what's the significance of the donkey? And we got into the four points that Stephen was talking about, which was the king redeems us, mm-hmm. The king releases us, the king rules us or uses us, mm-hmm. and then he then returns us. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how the donkey is us. God uses us. He redeems us, he releases us, he rules us, and returns us. Mm-hmm. And thinking of the story of the donkey, has God ever used something or someone that you least expected to teach you something about God?
Hmm. Yeah, I was thinking through the idea of someone versus something, and I feel like I can think through a lot of examples of something. So I'm going to go that route.
Okay.
But I've shared this with a few people through the partnership track. But quite a few years ago, my grandma, my dad's mom, was diagnosed with cancer. And this was not a grandma that I was close with. Okay. There wasn't like a big fight or anything. There was just distance. It was like that for many years. And when she got diagnosed, we were kind of, someone needed to be there for her treatments. They were going to happen regularly enough that it would be difficult for someone with a job to do that.
Yeah.
So I ended up, when my parents were talking about it, funny enough, I was like, I think that I should do it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
Which in the moment felt really counterintuitive because we weren't close.
Yeah.
And so I ended up quitting my job, and it was my new job to take her to her appointments and to sit through the radiation with her, and to, we would stop and get groceries or, you know, whatever. And going into that, I didn't really have any expectations of this being the thing that would create a relationship between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly what God did. He kind of restored the separation that was there. And I got to experience a closeness with my grandma that I didn't have
mm-hmm.
before this. And I think during that process, I was realizing God's faithfulness,
yeah.
even in the midst of something that wasn't ideal, mm-hmm. right? By submitting yourself, by letting him redeem a situation, by turning it over to him, I got to walk away with a relationship with my grandma before she passed away. We were able to have conversations of her growing up. We were able to talk about the Bible.
Yeah.
And it became this season of life where I actually felt like I learned a lot in our conversations. She would say something and I would be like, And then I would go look it up. And I felt like it refined me in a way that I was not expecting. Just because the situation by nature wasn't super fun.
Yeah.
But God in his faithfulness made it this thing where I felt like after her treatments were done, and even after she had passed, I felt like I had this like little nugget of goodness.
Yeah.
This little gift that I wasn't expecting from God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so cool to hear, although I know the circumstances were not probably the funnest, but it's cool to still see God take those moments and still use them for his glory, you know, mm-hmm. bringing you closer to him and bringing, a relationship with your grandma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just, I don't know, that is like a restoration type of thing.
Yeah.
Without really, I mean, obviously like, that was God's intention, but like not really trying on your part to restore it, but God did, you know?
Yeah. It was very almost like logical. It was a logical decision for me. Like, this makes the most sense, so this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Yeah.
And not at all by my own doing, mm-hmm. but I think just in kind of trying to be humble and giving it over to God and be like, okay, do what you want during this time.
Mm-hmm.
He really did something. And now I get to walk away with that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, again, it's cool how he did that. Circumstances not the best, but I will say this, like, I always find it interesting how God will take those moments
mm-hmm.
and he will turn them. I think back, like, myself personally, and do not quote me on dates because
okay.
I literally have been trying to figure this out since we started talking about this particular episode. I think it was either 2003 or 2007. I know there's a big length of time, but I lived in Ottawa, and if you know anything about Ottawa, it's a bowl. Okay. So you could be driving into Ottawa and you don't realize that you are dropping a lot down.
Okay.
The town beside us is up, and anytime that rain would come, that town, if we got a lot of rain the next day or the following day, we would get all the runoff. And Ottawa had this 100-year flood that would come every 100 years, supposedly.
Okay.
And it just so happens that it was either 2003 or 2007
okay.
where the 100-year flood came. Full transparency, I don't remember the age I was at. I know I was in high school.
Okay.
I think, honestly, mentally, I just blocked it out because our house was basically, the bottom floor was completely gone. Mm-hmm. We lost everything on the bottom floor. We had to be rescued because the water rose so quickly. I remember I was in marching band, and I was staying up late. For some reason, there was something in my, like, I was so excited that marching band was starting up the next day, and I remember looking outside saying, that water's coming up really quick. And I look, I don't know why, but I pulled up like the air vent just to see like what's going on. And there was water coming up the air vent. Mm. So like for me, I think back to the house flood. And yes, this was an absolute horrible thing. If you look at any of the news reports from that time, like houses were devastated. People lost like their entire homes. Mm. And for me, at the young age, I was looking around going, God, why would you do something like this? Why would this happen to us? And, you know, at a young age, you're questioning God and his logic. I mean, he used a donkey to teach us something. And I found that after everything was said and done, we had our church family come and embrace us and helped us out. We had people that came in from out of town to help serve and serve us, whether it was food, whether it was coming in and ripping out carpet, rebuilding the downstairs. And throughout all of this, God restored our home, but also he restored my faith in him because, yeah, it was a horrible circumstance. I hated what happened because, you know, basically it took my safe zone. It took all this away, but God basically was saying to me throughout all this is like, look, this is temporary, but a life with me is so much greater. Mm. And if you trust me, this may not look good right now, but in the end it will be good as long as you are close to me and clinging to me, even when everything around you is in disarray.
Mm. And the fact that in his goodness, he sends other people to walk it in the aftermath with you to help lift you guys up because it can be tiring when you're going through something like that.
Yep.
And then you can see his goodness even to bring, it's like, yeah, you get the closeness and the intimacy with him in the midst of it, but you also get the friendship of those around you who kind of help lift you through it as well.
Yeah. Some of my best friends came out of that time and that season because they were there, they were helping, they were making us laugh during this time, you know, which I think something also like, I think God created laughter for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it creates like a connection and a closeness with people, but it also creates memories, which memories will also get you through those hard times too, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's where my brain goes when it comes time for, did God teach me something? Yeah, he taught me something, you know?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break to hear what's happening at Redemption Church. Interested in furthering your education, but you don't know where to start? Revere Bible College is here to help. Birthed at a Redemption Church, Revere's goal is to rebuild culture by reclaiming education. Want to see for yourself? Join us April 16th for Revere's Interest Day. Learn more at reverebiblecollege.com.
All right, so just to kind of recap on what the conversation has been about, we've been talking about the donkey in the story of Mark 11, 1 through 10. And kind of the key points that Stephen was talking about from the Sunday sermon was, the donkey is alive. The king redeems us. The donkey is still tied up. The king releases us. The donkey has never been used. He rules/uses us, and then the donkey is returned. He returns us. Thinking through the idea of the king redeems us, releases us, rules/uses us, and returns us, are there any specific stories in the Bible that stand out to you where God brought them through this process?
Yeah. I've always loved the story of Joseph, and when you tie it into, not too long ago, I don't know when the song was released, so don't quote me on it, but Anna Golden came out with a song called Manasseh, and when I first listened to that song, I was like, what does this mean? And so I took some time to look into it, and I know most of us are familiar with the story of Joseph, right? Like, as a teen, most people say like 17-ish, he's sold into slavery by his brothers, right? And then he's in the house of Potiphar and his wife, and he's wrongly accused, and he's sent to prison. But something that I never paid much attention to until recently is how once Joseph gets married, his first child he names Manasseh. And the name Manasseh literally means God caused me to forget my troubles.
Oh, wow.
And so you see this kind of idea of oftentimes God can and does redeems us from personal sin, mm-hmm. right? Personal choices. But also he can redeem us from sins committed against us.
Yeah.
And this idea that Joseph lived this life that, yes, was full of blessing, but it was also full of hardship.
Yeah.
And how from the moment he was sold into slavery to when he had his first son was probably about 20-ish years.
Okay.
And so then he gets to this mark where he has his first son, and he's almost as like a gratefulness to God, saying, like, I'm dedicating my first son because God has released me from the remembering my past troubles. And then we know in the story that Manasseh goes on to be blessed as one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so this idea of story from start to finish, and there's still a lot of Joseph's life that happens post Manasseh being born. But in the song, something that I really liked that the lyrics say, he redeemed the years I thought were stolen. And how sometimes we can look at these life experiences and we can feel like, how could that be redeemed?
Yeah.
Or it's been 10 years since that's happened and I haven't seen the redemption in that. Or it was too hard, or other people are involved and they're not going to release me from it. But in the midst of it, it doesn't matter how the sin was committed against you, God can redeem it, right? If you surrender it over to him, if you give it to him, you are, what he can do with that is limitless. I mean, even the way that Joseph chooses to respond when he encounters his brothers during the years of the famine, right?
Yeah.
He's able to respond in such a way that is filled with grace and is filled with compassion because he let God take that story. And instead of choosing bitterness or resentment, choosing hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that's really cool to see.
Yeah, that's really cool. I know that when I think of these process, I typically think of King David. And I know, like, you know, everybody's like, oh, that's kind of like your go-to for this. But really, like, this was a king that, like, started from nothing. Yeah. I mean, he was a shepherd. And, like, he grew to be a king after God's own heart. And, like, yeah, he struggled with sin, and God still used him throughout all of this. Yeah, he eventually was, he eventually paid for his sin.
Yeah.
But he also, he came out to be the king after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. And I just find it beautiful because it's a reminder that what you had said earlier, like, your story is about sin that's been done to you, and King David's story, it's stuff that he did to himself, you know? And it's a good reminder that God can take both of those, and he can redeem us, release us, rule us / use us, and then return us. Mm-hmm. And because of that, one, we can have a reassurance that he's with us through it all, you know?
Yeah.
As long as we give it to him, you know? There is that.
There is that.
I also think through the story of Esther, which I'm going to try to do my best to do a quick synopsis of it, but Esther is Jewish, and her uncle, his name is Mordecai. And one day the king, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, but he is sending out to all the eligible ladies, hey, I'm looking for a new queen, basically.
Yeah.
And out of everybody, the king picks her. And throughout the story, there's this guy named Haman who's kind of after Mordecai. He's after the Jewish people, and his goal ultimately is to get rid of them, get rid of the thorn in his side, essentially, because he just does not like Mordecai.
Yeah.
So throughout the story, God's name is never mentioned, but it's foreshadowed throughout the entirety of the story. And at the end, Esther, you know, lets the king know, like, hey, I am of the Jewish faith. Hey, this is actually against me.
Mm.
and the table is completely reversed, and God, in his sense of humor, makes a ton of things happen that turns the table, which I'm not going to tell you everything. You're going to go read it yourself. But it's just so cool to see how God uses even like a story like that where his name is technically not mentioned, but he still uses it for his glory. He turns it around. And, you know, I just find that so interesting, especially when we're talking about he rules us. He redeems us. He releases us. He rules us. And he returns us. He did all of that without saying his name. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And all of it, too, comes from this place of surrender.
Yes.
In Esther, right? Mm-hmm. Like, God is always ready to utilize us if we're willing to be utilized, right? If we're willing to be obedient. We talk all the time about how, in his goodness, he's a God who pursues.
Yeah.
Right? He's always ready to meet us. He's mm-hmm. always ready to extend the grace, extend the compassion. If we're ready to submit mm-hmm. to that, right? He's always ready.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah. Honestly.
So I guess thinking through the idea of the King redeems us, releases us, rules us, uses us, returns us. I know we're talking in regards to like to scripture, like what story stood out to you. I guess the question now remains is how have you seen this play out in your own life? How does this apply to us?
Yeah. I know we were kind of talking about this earlier, but as soon as Stephen was kind of going through these four points, it tied in my brain to the sanctification cycle we talk a lot about here at Redemption.
Yeah.
And this idea that the Holy Spirit convicts, right? And when he convicts, we respond in repentance, mm-hmm. or we should. We respond in repentance. God is so quick to meet us with grace, mm-hmm. right? And then in meeting us with grace, we're able to be released from the shame and the guilt, right? And once we're released from that shame and guilt, we're kind of submitted under his authority, right? Because the only reason we're here is because of him.
Preach.
And then after we're submitted to him, he returns us out kind of into the world, if mm-hmm. we want to say that, to walk out obedience and faithfulness to him.
Yeah.
And how there can be like a big moment, mm-hmm. right, in your life where this story plays out. When we're talking like death to life, right? It can happen like that, but there also can just be these little moments, these like fine tunings that mm-hmm. happen all week long where convicts us, right? We repent. He redeems us.
Mm-hmm.
He rules us. He returns us. And how if we're willing to be in that sanctification cycle all week long, we can be kind of on that pursuit of holiness.
Yeah.
Not this like we're going to get to perfection, but like I think those four things happen more often than we think about them in the small things.
Yeah.
So what about you?
So I know it's kind of just like your standard answer, but I think of when I first encountered Christ. Mm-hmm. I was at this concert and I was not that I was like a bad kid or anything like that, but like I knew of God, but I didn't know God, you know. I was in youth group. I was doing the youth group thing. I was reading my Bible, but like it didn't really like sink in, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I had gone to this concert and this speaker came up and he was talking about being like a fisher of men. And I don't know why, but at that moment it really just hit me like, man, I don't know if I actually know this God that this guy is talking about. I don't really know this Heavenly Father that this guy's talking about. And you know, I think you and I have had this conversation off of the microphone. Like I grew up in a fatherless home. Mm-hmm. So like the idea of having a father figure has always been kind of skewed. You know, you kind of view God the way that you view your earthly father. Well, my earthly father's not here, so how do I view God? Well, I don't know how. And throughout this conference, basically, it was a concert, conference, whatever. God really like was working on my heart of like, hey, I love you as my child. Mm-hmm. I want to redeem you. I want to restore you. I want to return you. And I think of the process that I had to go through to say yes to God, like fully say yes. You know, I can say at a you know, in a youth group, yeah, I believe in God, but like, do I actually believe? Yeah. Do I actually believe the promises that are in here? Do I actually believe that he loves me as deeply as he says he does? And that's, for me, I had to think through that. And, I still struggle with this, honestly, because, again, I don't have a father to kind of look up to. Yeah. But he stepped into that role, which makes it a little bit easier for me personally.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense.
That makes sense.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, I really appreciate you taking time to chat with me in regards to all this. And yes, just to make it very clear, you are a donkey and we love you very much.
Welcome.
Welcome. if you are new to the channel, I know I said this in the beginning, please hit the subscribe button. Stay up to date of what's going on here by doing so. If you're listening via Spotify or the Apple Podcast, give us a 5-star review. You can also swipe up, and there's a question there where you can answer that of how we're doing, what we can do to improve upon what we're building here. And just so you are aware, we do have Good Friday service this coming Friday, and then we have Easter Sunday. We would love for you to join us. It's 9 and 10:45.
9 and 10:45.
Okay, nothing's changed, but we'd love for you to join us. So thanks for joining us. We'll catch you on the next one.
The Redemption Recap is an extension of Redemption Church. For more information about the church, please visit experienceredemption.com. Thanks for stopping by.